In the future, will we have enough tools to battle weeds in our wheat fields here in the Southern Great Plains, or for that matter, across the United States? It's a tough question to answer, one that kind of got a lot of unknowns associated with it. Dr. Ian Burke talked about this question and more in a special presentation he made to the Oklahoma Wheat Commission Board of Directors meeting this month. Dr. Burke is an associate professor for weed science at Washington State University.
Ian, let's talk a little bit about the wheat industry. The wheat industry, you pointed out, is really kind of almost like a niche market for these large agricultural chemical companies when it comes to herbicides because it's so fragmented.
Yeah, on a global basis, it's a big market, and it's an emphasis for development. But because of the nature of the wheat market in the United States, where it's bifurcated really into three different production regions, each of which has unique constraints and weed species, it's really made it difficult for a one-size-fits-all product. Mm-hmm. And so what's happened is, while we see new herbicides coming into the market, the number of new herbicides is really slowed to a trickle on a national basis. So we might have seen 10 products a year in the 1980s, we're really very rarely seeing more than two a year, and often some years none. So,
and you were saying what the mode of action that we're not seeing any new develop for mode of action.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a real emphasis now among the agrochemical industry to try and find that new mode of action, and I think that that's largely to do to with interest in claiming that new discovery more than anything. But no one has yet found new mode of action, really, since the introduction of the HPPD inhibitors back in the late 1980s. It's sort of astonishing to think about us relying on the same herbicide modes of action for as long as we have now and potentially for the foreseeable future, because we know herbicide resistance is a growing problem. It's not going away. It's not getting smaller.
I guess what when you say, you mentioned the herbicide resistance issue, that becomes even more serious with nothing on the horizon.
Yeah, so when you continue to use what you think would be this, you're seeing new shiny new products come on the market, but you really, as a grower, should be aware of what the active ingredients are and what you're actually using in terms of those products in that, in your repertoire, because you might, if you carefully look at them, the active ingredients may well all be very similar to one another in those different products. There's been a real proliferation of market arrangements among the agrochemical industry and dealers to get some of these generic herbicides into a lot of different products. And so there's a whole new product names. It looks like we're making progress. But in reality, we're really relying on many of the same active ingredients we've been using for the last 15 years.
And you were saying for the wheat industry and really some of the other crops as well, but for wheat, 2,4-D continues to be a product that works, and that kind of puts a lid on some of the ability to maybe bring in new products.
Yeah, so 2,4-D is a very effective broadleaf herbicide, and it's been very durable. It's an incredible technology. You think about how long we've used it since the 1950s in not just wheat systems but other grass systems. And it continues to work well on many of our troublesome species. When you have a herbicide like that that costs as little as it does, I mean, it's an inexpensive, effective product. To displace that from the marketplace means that the manufacturers have to come up with something that's as inexpensive and more effective. Mm-hmm. And that's been a real hurdle. So I think although many of the basic manufacturers view broadleaf weed control as just as important as grass weed control in wheat, the products just haven't materialized at the same rate because of that 2,4-D presence in the marketplace.
And that's economic as far as part, at least part of it's economics.
Sure. Well, it's economics. So it's got to be a major hit on a global basis to really displace that 2,4-D. And there's been, I can think of a couple examples. The recent introduction of Husky is one that it's much more expensive than 2,4-D for sure, but it controls some of the troublesome weeds that 2,4-D doesn't. And so we've seen it, particularly in my region and in the Pacific Northwest, we've seen it playing a very important role in broadleaf weed management. But we're still using 2,4-D and MCPA too. So we haven't displaced usage. We've just added a new tool to the toolbox.
With the number of products that are out there. In other words, given the state of the herbicide industry today for wheat producers, what does that really mean? In other words, for a wheat producer, what is your strategy, you know, moving forward to make sure that you don't run into problems with resistance?
I don't know that there's necessarily a strategy that's going to succeed. I certainly view education as a critical part of what we do. My extension specialist and I, Drew Lyon and I, have been working to really shine a spotlight on this proliferation of products in the marketplace, what the active ingredients actually are, and give them the tools, our growers' tools, that they need to really make thoughtful, knowledgeable product selections. Mm-hmm. I think that identifying and educating growers on alternative methods of weed control, that includes the cultural and mechanical tools that some of us maybe have neglected over the years. Mm-hmm. Those tools require more skill to deploy successfully, and what the wheat looks like, what the weed management looks like, is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Herbicide really is an incredible tool because it is so effective. Mm-hmm. And so,
And easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's very easy to grow your operation, to the thousands of size of thousands of acres, because you have a tool like a herbicide to manage that many acres. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more difficult proposition to begin to take the steps to understand how to increase crop competitiveness, to decrease the amount of time you have open ground to close that canopy up. All those tools, all those inputs that we would say would be good farming, mm-hmm. sometimes we forget that also equals good weed control, and they're often a lot less expensive than the herbicide themselves, but the herbicides are so effective, we've come to sort of neglect those inputs or forget how important they are as part of the system.
Right. I guess in our part of the world, we've looked at trying to do rotation of other crops with winter wheat to try to break some of those cycles of weeds. Is that something that is normal or common in the PNW?
In many ways, we face some of the same constraints. We just don't have a good alternative rotational crop to wheat. But that doesn't mean we're not looking. So in the Pacific Northwest, we've been trying to figure out canola. We've not been nearly as effective as what the researchers have been in Oklahoma, but we're gaining. I'm pretty excited about broadleaf crops like winter pea and what that might do to some of my producers that have very similar conditions and constraints as Oklahoma producers do. Anything we can do to find alternatives to wheat that allows us to deploy tools that are truly effective on the weeds we're trying to manage, it's all part of a solution too.
Right.
So those often take a lot longer to find than a new herbicide, unfortunately.
Right. As you communicate and you have dialogue with some of the chemical representatives that you work with, what's out there? Is there anything out there on the horizon that'll from an agricultural chemical perspective that may be new and exciting as far as trying to address some of these problems?
Often what I see is the next solution that's being presented is still in a jug, so it's still a herbicide solution, and I think that I'm always cautiously optimistic. Nothing's so bad as it may seem, and we're talking about herbicide resistance, and it certainly is a constraint. But it's not as good as we would like it to be, for sure. And everyone's sort of, I've always, we're seeing an increase in complaints of recently introduced products not working as well as they used to. And that seems to be the treadmill we're on. So the reality is that hopefully everyone who is actively using herbicides can also stop for a minute and consider what else is contributing to their weed control and work to maximize those. This isn't an easy solution. There's no silver bullet coming along to take care of these problems. We have to deal with the problems we have with the tools we have. We're not going to get a lot of shiny new tools coming in the near future. I see opportunity in things like big data systems and robotics, but those are also going to be technically challenging tools to deploy, much more complex tools to take advantage of than a herbicide.
Thanks, Ian. Dr. Ian Burke, Associate Professor for Weed Science at Washington State University in Oklahoma, visiting with the Oklahoma Wheat Commission about some of the issues related to weed resistance in U.S. wheat. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.